Welcome to the Gathering Church's audio sermon. Thanks for listening.
What a privilege it is to witness baptisms, see people declaring publicly, I believe in Jesus and I belong to Jesus, that he is the best, he is the greatest, that he is the Son of God, he is the one who made a way where there was no way, the one who's now reconciled me back to God. He is enough, fitting on Thanksgiving when we're called to be looking at all God has done for us, all he has provided for us, to have people say, Jesus is enough. It was almost, pretty much a sermon in itself, five mini sermons, and you're kind of going, why is he up here? We already had five. Well, I'm going to give a little one. We're rounding the final corner. We're heading towards the finish line of this Lawbreakers series, a series that we've been doing on the Ten Commandments for the last number of weeks. And we're going to see this morning that Jesus is enough for us as well. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open it to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at two verses primarily today, verse 15 and verse 17 in this final installment of this series, Lawbreakers. We have seen time and time again that we are sinful lawbreakers. We have disobeyed. We have turned from God's ways. We have embraced our own ways. We have been careless. We need grace. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. We need Jesus, the only law keeper. He is our only hope. He is all that we truly have, which is just fine because he is enough. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says, you shall not steal. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbors. So these two commandments, they go together. They kind of go hand in hand. Often we steal because we covet. Not always. There might be a few other reasons why someone might steal, but often they go together. I steal because I covet. And so we're going to look at two points this morning quickly. The first point is that since Christ is enough, we must fight against covetousness. Since Christ is enough, we must fight against covetousness. Covetousness. So stealing, I think we understand. It's a pretty basic concept. I am taking something that does not belong to me. Okay. Coveting, we might understand the concept, but maybe we don't understand the word. Coveting is this, it's a strong desire. This is a craving for something that belongs to someone else. I don't have that, but they do, and I want it. And it's almost like more than I just want it, like it's a nice wish list, or a personal ambition, like, hey, it would be nice to have a newer car or a new jacket. That's different. This is, I almost now don't like them because they have that and I don't. You know, I start to have negativity towards others. I start to have disdain towards someone because I should have what they have. I want it that bad. I deserve it. Why do you have that and not me? It's a sense of coveting. It's the last commandment. Coveting is the last commandment in the Ten Commandments, but it is not the least by any means at all. It wraps things up, and it hammers home this point that we've been looking at for the last number of weeks, that our hearts are the problem. It's our hearts, it's our desires, it's our attitudes, it's our thoughts, life. Yes, the actions that we do, of course, can be sinful, but it's our hearts that so often leads to our actions. Our hearts are sinful, our hearts are selfish, our hearts are broken and sick, and they need to be healed, and they need to be changed, and only Jesus can do that. And we need him. Thinking about stealing, this was depressing. I did some research this week on stealing. Oh, man. If you felt good about yourself coming in here this morning, this might bring you down a notch. $13 billion worth of goods are stolen from retailers each year in the U.S. alone. $13 billion, just in the U.S. 1 in 11 people admit to shoplifting. Admit. So some people don't admit it and still do it. 73% of employees admit to stealing at least once in some way from their employer. It could be swiping a stapler or lying about the overtime that they put in. This was a really interesting one. Millennials. Any millennials? 34% of millennials feel justified when they steal from their job. Okay, no explanation given. And 1 in 4 people admit to reporting more hours than they actually have worked. 1 in 4. There's so many examples of stealing. We could talk about stealing over and over and over again, where it's stealing money from your parents' wallets. That's what I did when I was a little one. Or we steal someone's thoughts or their ideas or their works. Plagiarism. We steal from the government, maybe, cheating on our taxes, finding little loopholes. We steal from the entertainment industry by pirating shows, movies, music, watching, streaming illegally, all these kinds of things. You didn't want me to talk about that because you're all cool with the other things, but then you're like, let me go home and watch things illegally. But I did. We're thieves. We're thieves. I mean, we hate to admit it, but we need to admit it. We're thieves. We're so prone to take what does not belong to us, to want what does not belong to us. This is why we need commandments like this. Do not steal and do not covet, because we're naturally going to do it. We naturally want what isn't ours, and we want to take what isn't ours. So again, stealing is the action, but coveting is the heart, the attitude behind the action. And coveting, not only can it lead to stealing, but it can lead to other sinful actions like murder, like adultery, like lying. James 4 tells us, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. It's the heart, it's the attitude, it's the feelings, everything. He's like, it's all right there. And the problem with coveting is it takes our eyes off of what we have. It just doesn't let us stay there. And it forces, it just looks everywhere else at what everyone else has and what I don't have and what I think I need and what I think I must have, what I should have, what I deserve. Stealing and coveting hand in hand, but they have their roots in selfishness, in greed, in jealousy, and discontentment. And again, there's a difference between noticing something or noticing someone and coveting. For example, you might notice, hey, that's a beautiful woman. Okay, you may notice that. That's fine. And then coveting is like, okay, my wife's not that beautiful. Why can't my wife look like that woman? My wife has not aged as well as that woman seems to have aged. You know what? I bet you I would be happier if I had a different wife. Perhaps even that woman as my wife. Do you see where that goes? See how that's different? We notice things, but then we covet things. Or you notice, hey, man, that guy's really good at that sport. Okay, you can notice that. But now, why does everything come so easily to him? Why is he able to throw like that or run like that or whatever it is? Why does he seem to have such natural ability and I don't? And now I don't like him because everything's great for him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want. Versus just like, hey, he's good at that sport. There's a difference there. And these thoughts, they don't really take us to a place of loving God and loving others, as Jesus tells us, you know, the greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Coveting doesn't really allow us to do that. It doesn't help us to give thanks. It definitely does not help us believe that Christ is enough for us. It's Thanksgiving weekend. This is a time where we're supposed to reflect. Like, we have this on our calendar every year, and I'm glad that we do, because it kind of forces us to stop, or it should force us to stop and say, wait a minute, how has God been good to us this year? Maybe you think it's cheesy, or maybe you do this, maybe you have done this, I don't know. You go around the table, say a thing that you're thankful for. Oh, yeah, I'm thankful that the, I don't know, it's sunny today. Nice. I'm going to dig deep for that one. But you know what? It's actually good. It's good to do that. It's good to kind of force yourself maybe into that cheesy or corny moment, because so naturally we don't. We don't stop and take time and say, wait a minute, what am I thankful for? God's been good here and here and here and like this. So it's important for us to do that, not just once a year, but all the time. So we got to fight against covetousness. And man, I tell you, it is a difficult fight. But one way that we fight covetousness and fight against stealing is by pursuing generosity. Pursuing generosity. In discussing stealing, one person has said that generosity is the antidote for stealing, and it will help us to fight against coveting. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Did you get that? So it's not just stop stealing. You know, go to work, work hard, so that you can contribute and help and share and be generous to others. There is both. Yes, stop stealing. Now help people. Start giving. Pursue generosity. Start sharing, start helping, start understanding and grasping that Jesus really is enough for me. I don't need to take, I don't need to do all these things because he has provided all that I truly need. And since he has forgiven my sins, since he has given me new life and given me eternal life, he's brought me from death to life. I've become a child of God by his grace. Now, in response to all the generosity that I've received from him, I can mimic him, learn to become more like him, and practice generosity to others. I can fight against stealing. I can fight against coveting by going after generosity. Kent Hughes said it this way. He said, "Every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Every time I give." Another person said, "If you're having a hard time getting your heart in the right place, send your money ahead of your heart. Your heart will follow." Give. Give, pursue generosity, fight against covetousness by trusting that Christ really is enough. I believe that he's enough so I can give. I don't need all of these other things. I can focus on the gospel and all that I have in him, and I can pursue generosity. And as I learn to live for him, I can also learn to identify and then remember to live for what really matters according to him. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make that what you're after, not the desires to have what you don't have. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll take care of stuff, okay? You make your life focus on seeking the kingdom of God. So we also fight against covetousness by fighting for contentment, which is the second point. Since Christ is enough, we must fight for contentment. Because coveting is like, I'm discontent. I don't like my situation. I don't like my lot in life. I wish I had more or newer or different or better. But contentment says, Christ is enough. A recent study revealed that only 14% of Americans say they are very happy with their life. 14%. There was no information on Canadians because we don't exist in the stats world. But 14% of Americans say they're very happy. They're content with their life. That's not a lot. We seem, as a North American culture, a society, to be generally unhappy, generally unsatisfied, generally unfulfilled. We struggle with contentment. We struggle with being thankful. We struggle with this sense of finding true contentment. It seems like it's that carrot on the stick, right? It's that ever elusive goal. I want it, and I think that maybe I could have it, but it's just I can't obtain it. I think sometimes we can't obtain it because the fight for it is actually tiring. It's easier to complain, it's easier to covet than to choose contentment. But sometimes I think it's elusive because we're trying to fight for it with the wrong ammo. It's very difficult to fight for contentment when we're constantly comparing ourselves to everyone else. Constantly comparing ourselves to everyone else in like every way possible. A recent psychological report found that reducing social media use to 30 minutes or less per day, just 30 minutes or less, some of you are like, I could never imagine. 30 minutes or less leads to noticeably lower levels of anxiety, less depression, less loneliness, less problems sleeping. So many studies have been found and are still being found showing the clear link between excessive social media use and lack of contentment. One study found that 87% of women and 65% of men admitted to frequently comparing their bodies to others on social media. Same study found that most Instagram and Facebook users genuinely believe that other users are happier than they are. Well, of course, no one's ever posting their bad pictures. Comparison kills contentment. Comparison kills contentment. But we're called to pursue contentment, to recognize that godliness and contentment, there's great gain in that. 1 Timothy 6:6-9, Paul says this to a young pastor. He says, Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can't take anything out of the world. Ever heard anybody say that before? Can't take it with you. The Bible. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Whoa. With food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. See, heart, desire, coveting, we got to watch out. It's going to be really hard to be content if we're always desiring more and different. We struggle with this. We struggle to be happy. We struggle to be content because we're always looking at everything else. And so I have a question for you. Think about this one. Answer this in your mind. You might not be able to answer it instantly. That's okay. Think about it. If I only had, then I would be truly happy. What's that blank? If I only had, then I would finally be happy. I'd be truly happy. What is that? A new car? Different house? New job, a boyfriend or girlfriend, spouse, better looking spouse, more friends, more money, better health, a puppy. What is it? If I only had blank, then I would finally be happy. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus, you have God. You have God. We have God. We've been brought into his very family. We have God. We're going to fight for contentment. We've got to remember that we have God. We have God. See, coveting, this is where it's really dangerous. I mean, you really dig. Coveting and this lack of contentment, that if you go down, dig to the roots, right? Dig, dig, dig. You find that at the heart, there's actually a lack of trust in God. Discontentment, lack of trust in God. I don't like my situation, which means I don't like the cards that I've been dealt, which means maybe I don't like the dealer. I don't think he shuffled enough. Dangerous. Dangerous. Say, oh no. I don't trust him. Maybe he made a mistake. I start to doubt his sovereignty. I start to doubt his wisdom. I start to doubt that he's even good. Because look at my life. If it would be better, it would be different if he was really good. Whoa. We put God on trial. We refuse to trust his goodness. We refuse to trust his wisdom as we go after discontentment. That's why we got to fight for contentment. I mean, again, it's Thanksgiving. We got to remember, reflect the goodness of God, his great blessings to us in so many ways, choosing to be grateful instead of grumpy, to be content instead of just complaining and whining about everything that isn't, and to recognize, again, all that we do have instead of wishing for what we don't have. So if generosity is the antidote for stealing, contentment and running after thanksgiving, that's the antidote for coveting. 1 Thessalonians 5 helps us. We fight for contentment by choosing to give thanks. He says in verse 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's been said that it's not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people that are happy. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We run from comparison. We run from all these things. We look to the gospel. We look to Jesus, all that he has done for us. We go, I have so much more than I ever actually understood or grasped. I can give thanks. I can run towards contentment because of Jesus. I can fight for contentment because of Jesus. Ephesians 1 tells us that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Believer in Jesus, we have enough reason to be content. every spiritual blessing. We have what we need. We think about Jesus. He lived the perfect sinless life for us. He died the sin-paying and sacrificial death for us. He rose again in victory over sin and death to give us forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. We got to think about gospel. Think about what matters the most. That's going to help us as we seek to fight against covetousness, we seek to fight for contentment. Think about the big picture. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we wrap up this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ready for it? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And we so often desire present and future security. Alarm systems, locks, cameras, all these things, college funds, try to have good investments, retirement savings plans, all these things, okay. But in Christ, did you catch it? Living hope and an imperishable, undefiled, unfading inheritance. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing and no one can touch, damage, take, or destroy your future inheritance. It's set. Like, the best is really actually yet to come. And so when we think about that, right, future hope can give us present joy, present contentment. Oh, man, all that we have presently, but all that we're also going to receive in Christ. But if you're here today and you're not yet a believer in Jesus, hopefully you've been challenged and encouraged by the five men who have gone forward giving testimony about who Jesus is and what he has done for them. He can do the same thing for you. You can acknowledge and understand your sin, your failures. You can turn from your sin. You can turn from those failures. You can turn from all that the world seems to offer but doesn't deliver, and I think you know it. You know it. It doesn't actually truly fulfill. It might satisfy for a moment, but you know that it doesn't last. You can turn from all of that. You can trust in Christ. You can be born again to a living hope. You can have an imperishable, unfading, undefiled inheritance. You can have salvation. You can have eternal life. Listen, Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ, he can give you something much better and more lasting than everything the world has to offer. This Thanksgiving, believer, unbeliever, look to Christ. See that he really is enough. Find in him your motivation, to stop stealing, start giving. Sure. Understand that he has given us everything that we need, including brand new life. Focus on him. Focus on all that he has done for you as you fight against covetousness. Fight for contentment. Take time, even today, to choose to identify blessings, reasons to be thankful, but then actually then be thankful for them and give them the thanks, give him the thanks and the praise that he deserves. See that he is actually what we need, every single one of us. You can find joy, you can find hope, you can find forgiveness, you can find salvation, you can find hope and meaning and purpose and true contentment in him. This Thanksgiving, find that Christ is enough. Would you pray with me? Father God, what a joy it is to be here today, to witness baptisms, men going public with their faith in you, testifying to your goodness and to your grace, to what you have done for them. God, I pray that as we think about Thanksgiving, as we think about stealing, as we think about coveting, we think about contentment, Lord, that by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God, that you would work in our hearts, you would help us to see, maybe for the first time, Jesus, that you are actually enough. That we don't need all these other things that the world tells us that we need. We don't need all these other things that our own hearts tell us that we need. We need you. We need you. So I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you, that you would work in their hearts, you would draw them to yourself. And for those of us who do know you, that we would be reminded afresh that you are all that we need. You are more than enough for us. That we would declare afresh that you are good, you are worthy, you are our King, you are enough. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's sermon. For more information about our church, visit tgcw.org.